Good afternoon, everyone. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we're so glad you've joined us today. And this is Pastor Marcia McAllister, and in the studio with me today is Nan Watson. How are you, Nan?
I'm fine. How are you?
You're up for being on the radio, and Megan Kramer is going to join us in a little while from Indiana. That's Betty's daughter. Last week we had Betty on. She's part of the radio team, and now Megan, her daughter, and is also part, and they were in my church in Indiana some 20-some years ago. We won't say exactly how many.
I was going to say, how many was that?
20-some.
20-some. Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah. There you go.
Gotcha.
And so we're so glad they're part of our radio team, and they just have added a lot of dimension to our radio team, and we're glad. We're glad they're with us. So, Nan, we've had a great day. Are you excited to be on the radio today and to share God's word?
Of course. Always exciting.
It's always fun. We were talking to some people about this just a little while ago at lunch about just how quickly the time flies when we're in the, on the show live and just sharing God's word and sharing our thoughts and experiences and what God's doing in our lives, because he's doing so much in each of our lives, and there's a lot to talk about.
You know, when you're on the show, it seems like it goes by quickly.
It does, yes.
And when you're hearing it, it also feels that way. And I can say that because I've gone back and listened to some on the website.
Good.
And it's like, wow, I've been taking notes on and typing notes, and all of a sudden the 2 hours was up, and
right.
That's the length of a movie, and it just seemed to fly by just
quick.
Like the movies do. Yeah.
Yes, you have time to call some of your friends or relatives and tell them about the show, and they can join us. So it's always good to share the word of God, and this great music that we share is just wonderful. Oh, I tell you what, it's great. And yes, on our website, they can go because we take and put every single show up there. We have been doing that for about 4 years. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of shows on our website. It's a big website.
This is a big website.
Yeah. I've spent the last several days with our webmaster in Georgia, Maxine, and Carol, who's a part of our radio team, and working on our website. We are doing a total revamp, and it will be ready by next Sunday. We're going live with it, launching a brand new site, and it's just exciting, Nan. I mean, I've learned stuff I never knew I was even capable of understanding.
You can never quit learning, Pastor.
I know, but it's just been it's been a lot of work, long days, but very rewarding, and there's so much going on in the ministry besides the radio outreach, and so we're trying to get the website to the point that it is really showing all the activities of Beacon of Hope, and it's kind of exciting to be working on it and launching a brand new site. So several pages, it's a lot of work. So a lot of shows, a lot of our shows are on there, and they're going to stay on there live. The live ones are going to stay on there, so people can listen to them at a later time. Like you were talking about, and that's a good thing to be able to do.
Yeah, you can't sleep at night, or if you just have a need,
right.
You can stroll through. You can go through and see each one, see the list, and you can see the topic of
yes.
that particular one.
Helps,
and
don't
it
you think?
Helps. It helps that you can.
Yeah.
I really need that.
Right.
And you can pick that one, and it's just what you need at that time.
Well, 2 weeks ago today, we talked about healing for your body, and for bruised emotions. And that one was really good. Last week on proclamation, we're going to go on with that topic today in the book of Acts. We've been studying the book of Acts, and In the Power of the Spirit is the series we've been in for a while. I love it. It's coming alive. It's just, it's amazing. Just the New Testament church, which is what God is calling us in this day to be, that New Testament church that goes out, prays for people, talks to them about Jesus. It's an exciting day we're living in.
Very exciting.
Yes. So go ahead.
No, I was going to say Wednesday night was great. You know, you were out of town still,
right?
Working on the website, and Pastor Jim filled
yes,
in for you.
Sure.
And he just did the most awesome job speaking on the Holy Spirit. It was so powerful, and he just brought such knowledge and wisdom into I learned. I mean, I've been kind of raised in church all my life. I learned some things out of it. It was really, I mean, not to say I know it all. That's not it. But I learned a lot.
Good.
You know, I learned a lot by listening to his teachings.
So, that's fantastic.
So series we're in is great.
Tell everybody what happens on Wednesday night at Beacon of Hope and invite them, if you will.
Sure. Wednesday nights, we have prayer meeting at 6:15, Bible study at 7. Excuse me, there are tables set up so that, you know, many of us come from work. We can bring in our dinner, bring in the dinner. You know, there's several places rather you can buy things from or whatever, but bring in your dinner and just kind of eat your dinner while you go through the Bible study. And it's just a wonderful time of fellowship. You learn a lot. And it's a real casual kind of atmosphere. And
interactive.
Very interactive. And allow the opportunity, you know, that we get to share openly. We ask questions.
Right.
You know, so it's not just someone sitting there dictating or not dictating, but, you know,
lecturing.
That's a word.
Yeah.
Lecturing for, you know, however long a time, hour and a half, whatever, lecturing to hear the lecture.
It's not like that at all.
It's not like that at all. You get to interact. Thank God, not like that at all.
Absolutely.
I couldn't sit through that lecturing.
Yeah. But we welcome people to come and join us Wednesday nights at 7 for Bible study, 6:15 a prayer meeting. So all good. So we got a great song to start out here, Casting Crowns. I love this group. I was listening to them a lot in my car yesterday as I drove from Georgia. The Word is alive.
Looking out from his throne, the Father of light and of men, chose to make himself known and show us the way back to him. Speaking wisdom and truth into the hearts of peasants and kings, he began to unveil the word that would change the course of all things. With eyes wide, we'll be right back.
The Word is alive. The Word is Jesus. And we're going to talk about the words of the Bible, the words of our lives, and what they do in our lives. We're going to start with Acts chapter 1, in about verse 3. After the death of Jesus, he presented himself alive to them, the disciples, in many different settings over a period of 40 days. So Jesus died on a cross, was in the tomb 3 days, 3 nights. Then he was resurrected. We all know that. We're getting ready to celebrate Resurrection Day, Easter, at the end of March. And at the end of that resurrection, though, there was a 40-day period of time through before he went up to heaven. It's very interesting that he stuck around here, and he had a job to do. And then he had a very interesting job to do, because over the 40 days, he had face-to-face meetings, it says here in the Message Bible, with his disciples, and he talked to them about things concerning the kingdom of God. And all through the New Testament, you find out that the kingdom of God, from Romans 14, 17, is not what we eat or drink. It's not about rules. The kingdom of God is righteousness, us learning how to be in right standing with God, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So here's Jesus walking around for 40 days in his new body and appearing at different times to the disciples. This had to be really interesting, don't you think, Nan? I mean, we know he appeared to them on the beach. One night they were in a prayer meeting. He walked right through the wall. Two or three times he did that. You know, he was appearing, and it says here, talking to them continually about the kingdom of God. And it says they met and ate meals together. We do that a lot at Beacon of Hope. Meet and eat meals together, right?
Absolutely.
And he told them that they were on no account to leave Jerusalem, but they must wait for what the Father promised. The promise you heard from me. In other words, Jesus promised that he was going to send, when he went to heaven, he was going to send
the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And he said, you must wait for what the Father promised, the promise you heard from me. John baptized in water, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and soon. Who is the Holy Spirit baptizer? It's Jesus. Jesus is the one that baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. We baptize in water. We can baptize people in water, and water baptism is an outward sign of an inward change in people. But Jesus is the Holy Spirit baptizer. So these are his parting words before he is raised up into heaven. When they were together for the last time, I'm in about verse 6 of Acts 1, they ask him, Master, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel now? Is this the time? Because they were looking for an earthly kingdom. You know, they thought Jesus was going to take over the government and become the earthly king, and that's not what his mission was all about at all. And he said to them, you don't get to know the time. Timing is the Father's business. What you'll get is the Holy Spirit. Here's the gift. The gift is the Holy Spirit, not the timing and all of that about, well, I want to know this and I want to know that. He said, here's your gift. The gift is going to be the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be able to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all over Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the world. So this statement by Jesus implies that they were not going to be able to be that effective as far as sharing the good news of the kingdom of God until the Holy Spirit came upon them. What a powerful, powerful thing happened that day. Holy Spirit totally changes our lives, Nan.
I was going to say that, you know, when that happens in our lives.
Yes.
What a total change.
What a total change.
Total change. You
it's
know?
So different than just being saved.
Right.
It's a next step after salvation is Holy Spirit baptism. Megan, are you with us?
Hi, guys.
Hi, Megan.
How's cold Indiana?
Hey, it's cold, but it's sunny.
Oh, okay.
So we're good.
All right. Megan, you were baptized in the Holy Spirit at a very young age, were you not?
Yes, ma'am, I was very young. In fact, I kind of don't even remember it because it was so long ago. But.
Right. I think you were very, very, very young. Yeah.
Yeah, very, very young.
And well, my kids were too, under the age of 10, when all three of mine were baptized in the Holy Spirit. But that's unusual because most people don't even understand about the Holy Spirit until later on in life. and perhaps they wander into a church that does believe in the fullness, the full gospel, the teaching of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they begin to understand it, which is the way it is for a lot of people, I believe. But what Jesus is saying here, Megan and Nan, is that yeah, you can be saved, you can talk to people about God, but when the Holy Spirit would come upon you, he said, this is your promise. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Now, witnessing, you know, I grew up in church and with a dad who was a pastor and a missionary, and that term witnessing meant what, Nan? Because you grew up in church, you know what that term witnessing meant. I've got to go witness. What did it mean? What did it mean?
You had to go out and share the message of the gospel of Jesus with people who don't know.
So you did that with sign language, or did you do it by just mental telepathy? That's the wrong answer, Nan.
Okay.
Let me get my bell here when I can ding when you got the wrong answer.
I thought you were going to hit me with it.
No, I promise. I'm not going to hit you with it.
Actually, I can remember times of actually back in the old days, you would go door to door, you know, and... and just have tracts, you know, little brochures about Jesus.
Right.
Tracts with you and information about your church with
you. Right. Usually it was church related, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, almost definitely.
Yeah.
And,
do you remember any of that, Megan?
No, I don't. I don't ever remember going around and visiting people's doors. No.
Okay.
She is young.
But
I'm a baby, remember? I'm a baby.
You're the baby.
But you know, this is true, Nan, because that was the way people talked to people about God back in the day, say 30 years ago. That was the standard operation, you know, that's what we did. We went door to door and talked to people about Jesus a long time ago, or a lot of people did. And here Jesus is saying, wait a minute, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he's telling the disciples, don't go anywhere, stay here. Don't go out, don't go back to fishing, don't go doing anything. Stay here until God gives you the Holy Spirit, because then you're going to be such a mighty witness. The term we used to use for witness, door to door, is not what he was talking about here. What was he talking about, Nan? Okay, she drove a blank. What was he talking
about? She drew a blank.
What was he talking about, Megan?
I would think that what he's talking about is that in your daily life, when you're led by the Holy Spirit, that you're able to witness to people, maybe not necessarily it be, you know, words directly quoted out of the Bible, but like a compassionate witness to someone that maybe is going through a struggle in their life.
Right.
And you give them words of the Holy Spirit to help them in that moment when they're struggling.
Exactly. And so our old term of witnessing is not what Jesus was talking about here. Jesus was talking about when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, your words are going to be anointed of God so that you're going to say the right thing. In fact, didn't Jesus say, don't worry about what you're going to say when the time comes in any given situation. Just trust the Holy Spirit within you to give you the right words at the right time. Nan, a case in point, you at school where you work, you can't tell me God doesn't do this through you almost every day.
It happens a lot.
It does, doesn't it?
You know,
yeah.
To have the opportunity to share God's word.
Right.
But like Megan said, we're not like quoting the scripture, but we are quoting the scripture. We're just not going there saying, well, you know, in the Bible it says in such and such. We're just speaking it.
Exactly.
And we're just speaking it. And we're able to do that because of the power of the Holy Spirit within our lives.
Absolutely.
We're able to do that so boldly. I think boldness.
So you're not necessarily, Megan, you said a minute ago, forgive the frog in my throat here, girls. But Megan, you
drink a Diet Coke.
Yeah, that's what I need. I've got some water here. But Megan, you said a moment ago, it doesn't necessarily mean you're quoting scripture. Talk to me about that.
Exactly. And, you know, just sitting here, we're talking about this. You know, if we today in society went around knocking on people's doors, how many people are going to answer their door?
They're not going to answer the door.
The world has become nobody. And if I was to go to my neighbor next door and say, hey, you know, in Luke chapter 1, such and such, I think this applies to your life. Well, they might look at me and think, well, gee, thanks, that didn't help me very much, because they may not even understand what that chapter of the Bible is even about.
Exactly. However, go on.
I think it's important that when we let the Holy Spirit lead our lives, and we let the Holy Spirit lead the words that come out of our mouth, you know, pardon my pun, but it flows like butter.
It does. That's the anointing. And it's just like, let me give you an example. I'm not on Facebook much, although we do have facebook.com/Beacon of Hope Ministries, and any of you out there can go there, and there's a lot of things that Connie puts on there. But you and your mom, Betty, you guys are on Facebook a lot, and you minister to people that way, do you not?
Totally, every day. And in fact, I just had a friend of mine that's my hairdresser posted a comment that a family friend of hers that goes to their church, the husband had a reaction to an antibiotic before surgery and is going through some issues, and that was a moment that I was able to lift him up in prayer and unite with them. Even though they're, you know, 50 minutes from here, you can still unite in prayer no matter where everybody's at.
Excellent point. And with media, the way it is now, even this radio show, we're around the globe right this moment. And live in 8 states. That's amazing what God is doing with media now. So what our old definition of witnessing was different than what it is now. But here's the common denominator between then and now. And that is that our words need to flow like butter, like you said a few minutes ago, Megan. And that is the anointing, when the presence of God is impressing you on what to say to somebody, whether you're writing them a note on Facebook, whether you're calling them on the phone, whether you're texting them, hey, you've been on my heart, I love you, just want you to know that God's working in your life, whatever it is, the bottom line here is our words. This is where I'm getting to right now. Our common denominator, whether they used to go door to door, or whether a lot of ministry is done on Facebook, or whether it is done by texting. Talk to me about that, Nan.
Well, you know, I'm going to draw a blank today, Pastor.
Okay, that's right. Nan's not feeling very good right now. So just sit there and pray a minute, and we'll come back to you, okay?
You.
Megan, talk to me about that. That it does not really matter what medium we use, right?
Exactly. What matters is that we are doing what the Lord wants us to do, and that's to uplift each other and bring each other together, and so that we know, because God wants us to bring as many people with us as we can to, you know, his kingdom, to
Amen.
Our final place, where we have no worries, no doubts, no fears. And that's our job as Christians, is to reach out to people, no matter whether you text someone, Facebook someone, email someone, it doesn't matter. You're still doing the work of the Lord through those different media standards.
And the main way we do that is with the words from our mouth. And we had a whole show last week on proclamation, and this is kind of a continuation of that, because what comes out of our mouths is so vitally important. It can sway a conversation one way or another. And we also affect people with our facial gestures. You can tell if somebody's mad at you by the way they're looking at you. You know, Nan's sitting here grinning at me right now, so I know she's not mad at me right this minute. You know what I'm saying? But body language can also communicate. But the main way we communicate is with the words of our mouth, don't you think, Megan?
I totally agree with you. And the tone of our words that come out of our mouth.
Oh, that's good. That can really set people on edge if the tone is mean, or if it is confrontive or something like that, right?
Yeah, or if they don't care. I mean, you can hear that in the tone of someone's voice, whether they, you know, whether they care or not, whether they're truly, you know, compassionate with what's coming out of their mouth.
Okay, exactly. So the bottom line of all this is that we have to be the witnesses that God's called us to be, but it's not like we have to be something or strive to become something. It comes naturally after you have had the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You just begin to respond differently than you do when you're not full of the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying, or comment on that?
I totally agree with what you're saying, because if you are weak of mind,
right,
and you're going through something in your life, you slip up every once in a while. I do. And sometimes you let your carnal mind speak before your heart and the Holy Spirit words that are supposed to come out of your mouth.
Right.
And you may be damaging to a situation instead of being uplifting and compassionate towards the other person.
Oh, that is so right on, because it is what attitude we have when we're saying, let's say that we are in a situation where we have an opportunity to minister something to somebody into their life, or just talk to them and be friendly and be sweet. Our attitude has everything to do with how that is received, don't you think? I mean, we can have pent up resentment, pent up bitterness. We can have unforgiveness in our life. We can be judgmental. We can be coming from a place of judgment and using that little opportunity to speak into somebody's life as a license to maim, you know, M-A-I-M, maim them, you know, wound them. Nan has a comment.
I have a comment.
Here comes
I've
Nan.
I've been sitting and praying.
All right.
Come on, Nan.
We're going to do this. No, I mean, the word, you know, the power of the words. That's the one. The power of your words. You know, I can rip you up to shreds.
Sure.
Or I can lift you up.
Ooh.
Rip you up or lift you up. You know, and
very
I was
good.
Sitting here all
rip
of a
you
sudden,
up or lift you up.
I'm telling you, where'd that one come
where'd
from?
Where'd that come from?
I don't know where that came from.
I got to write that down,
write that
man.
Down.
Hey, she's quiet for a while, but look what came out, Megan. Rip you up. All right. Rip you up or lift you up. I love it.
Well, you know, I was sitting there thinking of two situations. One, something that a guy said to me in eighth grade.
Okay.
Can you imagine? I am now 50. No, I'm 51. And back in eighth grade, it was so hurtful to me.
Wow.
I mean, so hurtful to me that it has caused me problems because of what he said. And I mean, I'm 51. It doesn't now, but through my married life, I shared it with my husband at the time. And it was just, you know, he would reassure. I mean, he was very, I don't want to say comforting, but, you know, trying to say, oh, well, that's just back then. That's just kids that don't
but
say
it.
But
it stuck with you. That's what you're saying.
It stuck with me. And I mean, 51,
right.
I still remember. It doesn't affect me anymore, but I do remember
Did
that.
You have to get to a place where you forgave that person?
Yes.
Right.
You know.
Because that's the key here.
Right.
Megan, talk to us about this. Nan's right on about this. We can have things that happen clear back in childhood. And I imagine a lot of our listeners can relate to this. Things that happen when we're small children. Or maybe we've had an abusive parent, or a bad situation happen. That those things stick with us. Talk to us, Megan.
Exactly. You know, and it stems too from children dealing with their parents and what their parents are going through in their own life. That we're as parents letting our own issues deflect onto our children, and
right.
our children go out and they use their bitterness and their anger towards someone else.
Exactly.
And cause them, like with Nan, cause them a lifetime of heartache. And,
right.
you know, we as a society have got to put our foot down. I mean, here the parents of these children, I mean, we have got to get our own lives in control.
Yes.
And the only way to do that is to get yourself in church, get yourself cleansed, and restart your life. Because that is very possible to do that. There is no reason you
Absolutely.
Can't do that.
It really boils down to an attitude shift that has to take place in us if we're going to be effective witnesses with our mouths, be and really promote the kingdom of God. It's not about promoting a church event. It's about promoting the life of God within us and what God has done for me. That's being an effective witness. God has touched me. He's healed my body, or he's healed the hurt. Like you just said, Nan. Nan's got another comment, Megan. Here she comes.
One more comment.
Come on, Nan.
Oh, you're so sweet, Megan.
I'm bracing myself.
Now she lost it.
I did. We made such a big deal of it. I lost.
She lost it. It'll come back to you in a minute. Let me.
Oh, that was my fault.
Well, let me read Acts chapter 1, verse 12. So they left the mountain. This is the disciples, called Olives, and returned to Jerusalem. It was a little over half a mile. They went to the upper room they had been using as a meeting place. Then on down in verse 14, now they are together. And guys, they were together 10 days before the Holy Spirit fell on them. In verse 14, they agreed they were in this for good. I find this fascinating. If we're going to be effective in the kingdom of God, we got to have a few soldiers that we're in total agreement with. That doesn't mean we agree on every single issue. It's not that. It's agreement of heart. That my goal is to see the kingdom of God promoted on this earth and to do everything I can to be an effective ambassador for the Lord. And if that's your heart, Nan, then our hearts are going to be going in the same direction, right?
Right. I was just going to say, and I have the King James, and in 14 it says, these all continued with one accord in
one
prayer.
One accord, yes.
You know, and that's when a church can be most effective.
Yes.
Is when they're in one mind and one accord. And thankfully, we have that at Beacon.
We do.
You know, we have that at Beacon. And that is so, not that no one's pulling against anybody.
But that doesn't mean we always agree on the color of carpet or everything. It's not that kind of thing we're talking about. We're talking about we've caught the vision. We've caught the what we are trying to accomplish on this radio show. We may not always say or have the same opinion. You may not agree with something I say on the show, or Megan may not agree with me, or whatever. But if our goal is the same and we want to promote the life of God and how God changes us and causes us to become more like Jesus, then we can come into agreement. Megan, talk to me about this.
Well, you know, if in a church, and just like at Beacon of Hope, and in the room with the disciples, you wouldn't want someone of a heart that is hardened,
right,
and not open to doing the works of the Holy Spirit, because you wouldn't have a successful ministry if you had dissension there in one of the warriors within the church.
And it happens in churches everywhere.
It does.
It's common.
It happens all the time, doesn't
right.
it?
Right, absolutely.
And when we unite in one accord, when we unite in prayer, and we all have the same mission, the same heart that's focused in the same direction, that's when the gates of heaven open up and a miracle happens.
Amen, Megan. And this is the same for our individual homes and our families, okay? Because when resentment and bitterness is allowed to grow and flourish and there is not true forgiveness, then what happens is eventually people are going opposite directions, okay? In my second book, Living Large, I talked about this, about how we so often build up walls of resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness, and it becomes a house of pain instead of a house of love. And how the only way to break that down is forgiveness. That is the whole thing. Forgiveness does not mean I have to agree with what you did to me. Forgiveness means you don't owe me anymore. Okay? You can't make it right. I let it go. I give it up. I quit feeling bitter, and I ask God and you to forgive me for being bitter. And that's how we walk in a house of love versus house of pain. So, Megan, you're exactly right. In verse 14, it says they were all in one accord. It said they were in this for good, completely together in prayer. They knew that Jesus didn't idly say to them in Acts 1:6, wait on the Holy Spirit and nothing was going to happen. They knew that when Jesus said something wild is going to happen to y'all, that his words had substance, had power behind them. Talk to me about that, Megan.
Amen. And he was giving them a proclamation
right.
of what was to come.
Yes.
And the thing about that is, if someone told you that today, that you had to sit around in a room for 10 days with people and wait on this gift from Jesus, what would we do? You know what? We'd be like, you know what? You're nuts, because I'm not going to sit in a room for 10 days with these people and wait around on something, because you know what? They say we don't have the time.
Right. See? Yep. That's what our lives have become. Full.
That's
so full. That we don't wait on God like that. And even, Megan, I can tell you from pastoring all these years, 20 plus, that it's hard to get people to come to prayer meetings and be committed even for 2 hours, you know? Well, I got to go here, I got to go there, or, you know, this is happening or whatever. And it's not a priority, and prayer should be, because that's voicing, again, using our words, voicing to the Father our desires and our needs and all of that and proclaiming it. And that's, oh, wow. Go ahead, Megan. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you on that.
No, you didn't interrupt me at all. I totally agree with you. And it also proves that we are willing to do the work of the Lord.
Amen.
That's what it proves.
Right.
And that's what we've got to do.
And it's hard. It's hard for people to be committed to do that. They've got to catch the vision of where we're going and why we're doing that. And we continually, I continually, and Pastor Jim and I both, continually preach our vision at Beacon of Hope, because our vision is to reach people who are hurting. It's our vision is to present the good news of the gospel like we're doing here today. And dear listening audience, your life can turn around. Listen up. Your life can turn around if you understand the importance of the words that come out of your own mouth. That's worthy of a ding. There we go.
It is.
Because so often, Megan, I believe people don't understand that what they say, they get what they say so often. And not necessarily that's a good thing. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's not, because when you're in a situation, if you're speaking in a derogatory manner or if you're speaking negatively of the situation, how is that ever going to have a positive outcome?
Right. Right.
It won't.
Right.
If you're negative of mouth, there is nothing positive going to come out of the situation.
Exactly. And if people feel, if a person, let's say, feels wronged, feels like they have been, something's happened to them, it wasn't right, and they start spreading that among people, all that's doing is planting negative seeds and causing dissension and problems. Nan, talk to me. So important to what comes out of our mouths, don't you think?
Yes, I was thinking of some things that have been said to me that probably, except God moving situation, will forever change the situation. And not for positive, but it's because of the negativity of what, it's so important. We have to so carefully guard our words, even idle talk. We have to be careful about idle talk, because that can cause
a
lot of problems.
Absolutely.
And, it's just, Would God be happy with what I'm saying right now?
Right.
And that's, if you have a thought in your mind that you want to say whatever to somebody, just quickly think, would this be pleasing to God? And if the answer is no, you better not say it, because it can cause problems.
Even if there's truth in it.
Well, you have to be careful.
You have to be careful, because sometimes even if that's the way you perceived a situation and it was negative, just saying that causes a perception in the other person who listens to it for them to think badly about that person that you're commenting about. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Megan, you want to comment?
Sure. When you're in those situations that Nan was talking about, if you're sitting around with a bunch of people that are, talking negatively about people, what if you are put in that situation, and I'll use a football term, to be the interceptor?
Okay.
What if you are the one that's supposed to be sitting there to change and turn that conversation around?
Oh, that's good.
Because many times I have been in that similar situation, and I have known that I have been to be the interceptor of that situation and to stop it dead in its tracks, because it's nothing but pure evil, and turn it around and show those people, hey, what? This is being destructive in nature. Let's try to change this pattern and come out of this dirt and up onto the road and the path that we're supposed to go.
Oh, my gosh, Megan, that is so profound. How old are you? I'm teasing you.
She's a baby.
She's a baby,
she's
no.
A baby.
She is. She's young, but you grew up in the Word and you understand this. Megan, here's a verse, and we're probably going to use this verse all the way through today, and we mentioned it last week. Proverbs 18:21, and I mentioned last week that my own daughter said to me, isn't that verse interesting, because that's how she remembers it. I never even thought of remembering it this way. 18 is the age that you can legally vote.
You become an adult.
Right? 21 is when you can legally drink. Right? Okay, so 18:21, these are critical numbers for maturity. Proverbs 18:21, interesting that this is the address of this verse. Words kill, words give life. Now, most of us are familiar with King James. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Can you look it up in your King James, Nan, Proverbs 18:21? The Message Bible says words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Oh, Megan, this is right on with what we were just talking about, isn't it?
Dead on.
Because so often, and I love your concept, I've got a mental image because I love football, you know, and I watch a lot of football. And it's not good when my team's got the ball and my quarterback throws it downfield and one of the opposing teams intercepts that pass and turns that whole play around and suddenly the other team has possession of the ball. Really, that's what you're saying right here. In spiritual terms, it's good to be an interceptor.
It is. Amen.
That's a good concept, Megan. I like that. And you have yourself in this kind of situation, right?
I have too many times in the short period I've been on this earth. Just too many times.
Right.
Because people are just, it seems like everybody's out to disrupt each other.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
It sickens me. It really does.
Well, I think that we all need to be much more aware, and maybe that's one of the purposes of this show today, to become more aware of what comes out of our mouth. Let's listen to this song by the group Salvador. It's called Aware. How about that for an important segue? That just happened. Aware by the group Salvador.
Even in the little things that never seemed too big to me, and the things I thought didn't matter much at all. As simple as my daily bread, to the strength I need to get out of bed, when I fly or when I'm about to fall. Oh, it's you and me that I fail to see. Think about the things you said that in this moment seem so far away. Help me see the guarantees that first brought me to believe, so I can make it through another day. Oh, it's you and me that helps me.
That couldn't have fit in any better right there, Megan or Nan.
Yeah,
and, you know,
awesome.
This show is totally unscripted. We don't know where we're going. We have a general idea of the topic we want to cover, and it goes And we just let the Holy Spirit lead. And that is a perfect example of the Holy Spirit's leading, where we need to become more aware that it's not all about me. It's, do my words build up somebody else? Nan, read that in the King James, and you had a comment about Proverbs 18:21.
All right, Proverbs 18:21 in King James says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." I had made a note here back in 1990,
ooh,
and I put problem with person at church.
Aha.
And I was sitting there thinking, problem with person at church? I was sitting there thinking about who, what was it? Who? And then I remembered the situation. We had a lady in church,
wow,
who was not behaving in an appropriate fashion,
okay,
with regards to the leadership of the church.
Okay.
Of which I was kind of a part.
You were part of the leadership.
Yeah, but it wasn't so much me. It was directed at the pastor. And I know that in my human self, I wanted to really take care of this situation. I mean, because I have, you know, can have a tendency to want to, I know you didn't know that, I can have a tendency to kind of want to jump up and take care of things.
I've never known that. Have you, Megan? Have you ever known that Nan likes to take care of things?
But, you know, and the Lord brought me to that scripture,
right,
to let me know, be careful of your words.
Exactly.
Because the method in which I wanted to deal with it was not a godly way, to be honest with you. It was,
right,
a humanistic way of what I wanted to do with my words to let her know she was all wrong. Now, she needed to be corrected, and not necessarily by me, but certainly not with the words I was going to use.
Megan, you want to comment on all this? Nan is having true confessions here.
She is. It's the confessions of Nan.
Right.
Nan, that was the Holy Spirit making you aware that the words that you were getting ready to come forth with were not the words that that person needed to hear, because,
right,
they would have been probably destructive and,
yep,
of a negative nature. And,
yep,
that's what that song is talking about, is make me aware of the words that are coming out of my mouth. And I think we need to get into a mindset of quit being selfish and be selfless.
Right. Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Well, I think it's very interesting here in Acts chapter 1 and 2 that as the disciples all get together and pray, there's changes going on in them. Okay. I mean, 10 days of praying in agreement, they're getting ready for the infilling of the Holy Spirit that happens in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the feast of Pentecost came, that particular, exactly, intentionally, that day, they were all together in one place. Okay, the same group that's hanging out. We also know there were about 120 of them. That's not 12. 120 of them, 10 times 12. Were gathered together for about 10 days. That's amazing. They were in agreement like that in prayer. Okay? It's hard to get three people in agreement, let alone 120. Okay? They were all together in one place. Without warning, here's what Jesus had promised. Does he always keep his word? Megan, Nan, does God always keep his promises to us?
Yes.
That's the answer.
Yes. A big capital Y-E-S.
Capital Y-E-S. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. Now, gale force, it says in the Message Bible, that is not just a strong wind. This is like a hurricane type wind. This is like wild, like sometimes we have in Florida, that kind of weather, or tornado weather in Indiana. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire. Think about that when fire bursts out in like a big campground or something, and just maybe it's dry in the dead of summer and all of a sudden fire breaks out and it just wildfire,
mm-hmm,
you know, just California fires. The Holy Spirit spread through their ranks. I love this. And they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. And there were all these foreigners in town for Pentecost. And they were, as you go on down there, you read they're Parthians, Medes, all of these different people. And they began to hear their language coming out of these disciples and all the people gathered there in that room. Because the Holy Spirit fell like fire. Fire is emblematic, symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And when there is fire, all kinds of wonderful things happen because the fire begins to burn out of us. The fire of the Holy Spirit begins to burn out of us our carnality, which is our flesh, which is the way we've always done it. Or like your desire, your example there where you wanted to go tell that woman off. You wanted to tell her, blah, rah, 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 you know. The fire of the Holy Spirit, when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, something begins to change on the inside of us. That doesn't mean we are always perfect in this. No, because we are human and we gain more strength in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we gradually begin to understand the ways of God, the ways of the Holy Spirit. But I find this fascinating that what did the fire affect? Their mouths. Where do our words come from? Our mouths. Okay? And what happened here? When the Holy Spirit fell, which Jesus said, wait, he said, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. When this happened, it affected every one of them, and they were speaking in different languages. We call that speaking in tongues, which, of course, there's a prayer language and there is a gift of tongues. There's two different things. We'll teach about it some other time. But when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, the evidence that that has happened is that you do have a prayer language. It affects your language. Megan, talk to me about this. I find this interesting. It doesn't affect your kneecaps. It doesn't affect your elbows or even your sense of sight or smell. It affects your words.
Amen. And, you know, when you talked about that fire can grow, is that yes. The way that the fire grows within me is the more that I learn about the Bible, the more that I get down and spend time with Jesus, the more that fire ignites.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
And when that happens, when your fire has some accelerant thrown on it, pardon me for that example, but
it's good.
Then words that come out of your mouth, there you go, flow like butter.
Yes.
They're not destructive. They're not downgrading. They're none of those things. They're always positive and uplifting.
Absolutely. And it's all the Holy Spirit, and that fire has to get in on the inside of us and begin to root out the attitudes that cause us to be negative, destructive with our mouths and our attitudes. And we have to learn to become more like Jesus. That's the goal here in this earth. We are to learn to become like Jesus. Talk to us, Nan.
Well, I was just thinking, since we've been into this series, I mean, it just hit me like I'm sitting here today. And I noticed this, maybe this last week, I've had an unusual amount of patience, just calm.
Oh,
I mean,
cool.
Just calm. I've had to deal with some situations with my mom and her email account. I mean, it was just really crazy, but I mean, what I had to do, and it was like I was just so patient.
Cool.
And I'm just so calm and dealing with it.
It's the Holy Spirit working in
it. It is. I didn't show excitement.
Right.
I didn't, you know, wasn't feeling over anxious, was starting to feel a little bit. And I said, there's no need to feel that way.
Cool.
Just, you know, and that's been since this teaching. Since
praise
this teaching,
God.
You know?
Because what's happening is you're becoming more aware of the nature of God, and that the only way you overcome these old habit patterns and negativity is in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're talking about here. The Holy Spirit gets a hold of you and it begins to clean up your language. And some of you out there may have a problem with foul language, and give that problem to God, and you'll notice that you begin to recognize it when you say things and drop F-bombs and things that you shouldn't do. That you'll begin to be more aware. God will make you aware as he begins to clean up your words. That's what we're talking about here. Megan, talk to us.
Oh, amen. You know, and, you know, when you feel that coming on, that, the you know, the bad language, is like, you feel like getting, you got slapped in the back of the head. It's like, whoa, come out of your mouth.
Right.
What are you doing? And that's where the Holy Spirit corrects you,
yes.
That little correction, and makes you aware of what's coming out of your mouth before it comes out. But some people choose to ignore that little tap on the head, and they keep going.
Right. And then, it's like we were talking about earlier, the destructive, negative things we say about people. Just the foul language gives a representation that is not godly, that shows people that, okay, their anger has gotten the most of them that they are speaking like that, you know? And we've got to learn to allow the Holy Spirit to control our emotions and our negativity and all of that. But I think it's fascinating that this fire that came down out of heaven landed on these 120. What it did was it changed their words. Okay? It gave them a prayer language. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They had the gift of tongues right there. There they are. It affected their words because that's how we communicate. We are communicating right now with all of you listening audience by our words. Okay? I said earlier that Maxine and Carol and I have been working on a brand new website for Beacon of Hope, which we will launch next Sunday. And I had a video on there. As you go to the homepage of Beacon of Hope, I had a video that I'd cut a long time ago, and I kept saying, I need to cut a new video. And long story short, when you go to our new website as of next Sunday, you'll see that my video message on the homepage is I'm sitting in a big, beautiful leather chair in front of Maxine and Carol's fireplace with a beautiful fire in it. And it's intentional because it is the fire of the Holy Spirit that changes us and cleans us up. And look what it did here in verse 11 of Acts chapter 2. They're speaking our languages, these people were saying. They are describing God's mighty works. And what was going on when they were filled with the Holy Spirit and got their prayer language, they were speaking God's mighty works. They weren't talking about this one. Oh, did you see what so-and-so wore to church today? Or did you hear about so-and-so's daughter? Or da-da-da-da-da. What were they speaking? They were speaking about God's mighty works. Talk to me, Megan.
Yeah, you know, when some of the people that didn't receive that wash over of fire said that, oh, those people have been drinking cheap wine.
That's right. They did say that. Yeah.
They did. And then one of the disciples stepped forward and said, hey, no, they're not. They're not even drunk at all. They are speaking the word of God.
Absolutely.
They're not drunk.
That's right. That was Peter. Well, I think that's good you brought that up because this is going on in Acts 2. We find that Peter is the one who denied Jesus three times in the courtyard the night that they were... that Jesus was being, flogged and, interrogated. That's the word. And it's Peter, the very one who said three different times, no, I don't know him. I don't know who he is. And yet the first person to step up and use his words to change history and change and teach people about Jesus is Peter, the very one that he had denied him. Go ahead, Dan.
I think that's an example to us. Peter kind of messed up the first go-around.
Sure.
Kind of. He did.
Don't we?
And we do.
Sure
you
we
know,
do.
And there may be some people who are thinking in their minds right now, but I really messed up here, and I don't know if I could do that. Well, yes, you can. Look what Peter did.
Right.
He majorly messed up when it came to Jesus. And now he's had the opportunity to speak out again,
yes.
And he spoke out properly. And,
whoa.
You know, we can mess up, you know, like
good
you said,
point.
We're human. We can mess up.
Right.
But we can ask God to forgive us, ask Christ to forgive us, and go ahead and move forward in the way that we need to move forward. And use our tongues, use our words in an appropriate way. When we're supposed to, and say what we're supposed to say when we're supposed to say it.
Exactly. Perfect segue. We got it. Oh, I can't believe this, girls. It's already been an hour. We got to do station ID right here, and we'll be right back.
TAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.
And welcome to all those stations and those other states that hear this show live. We are a global ministry, Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're in our 12th year, and we're in a total revamp of our website. We will launch the brand new one next Sunday on February 24th. So we welcome you to go to www.beaconofhopeministries.com, that ends in IES.com, especially next Sunday when you see the whole revamp. It's just amazing what we're doing. And the outreach that we're doing. And we've been on this radio station and having a two-hour show for now almost 6 years. We had our 300th show in January 6th, and that was pretty cool. Almost 6 years, Nan, we've been at this, and it's pretty exciting what God is doing and so many that are being touched by the Word of God.
It's pretty powerful because we get the emails back from people.
We do.
You know, of sharing how a particular the radio show really blessed them or really was, that's just really what I needed to hear right then,
right.
You know. And it's an encouragement to lots and lots of people.
We want to hear from you. Just Nan's got email right in front of her right now. If you'd like to write something, feel free. Pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com is the address right now. Starting next Sunday, it will be pastor@BOHM, which is Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're going to shorten it to make it a lot easier. Pastor@BOHMglobal.com. So that starts next week. But for right now today, it's still pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. And you can write, and that's my email address. You can write, and we will, if you want us to share what you say on email, that's fine. Some people don't, and we don't always read them because some people are just writing a prayer request because we have the prayer ministry, Nan, and that's prayers at
beaconofhopeministries.com.
And next
right
week
now.
It will be prayers@BOHMglobal.com. Okay, so it's going to be a lot shorter. I like that, don't you, Megan?
Yes, I like the global part.
Yes, yes.
And I love that.
We got a logo to that effect and everything because the prayer ministry is global. So is this radio outreach around the world on the internet, which right now, if you're listening locally, you can also go to www.tantalk1340.com. So it is a global ministry, and when people have a prayer request, Nan, tell them what they can do with that and how do they get it to the prayer team, and they can be a part of the prayer team.
Well, this week, we're still using prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. If they have a prayer need, they can send that prayer need in, and then someone from a couple people designated from the prayer team will pick that up off the web,
right.
We'll send it out to send out the request along with the prayer to the people who are on the actual prayer ministry team.
Right.
And it's really nice because if you're kind of in a hurry or you don't have time, whatever, you can read the request, but you can actually pray the prayer and
right.
You have a prayer right there. And if you want, someone wants to be part of being part of that prayer team, they can also send in to the same email address, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com, and just simply ask to be put on that the prayer team.
Absolutely. And we want them to join. We've got a lot
Absolutely.
Of people from all over different places. So we welcome people to be a part of that prayer team and pray for those requests that come across your computer. It's fantastic. It's way. Today we're talking about our words, the power of our words. We're going to talk in this next hour about positive proclamation, what it does and how we do it. And we talked a little bit about it last week. We're going to go on with that subject. We're in the book of Acts, chapter 2, if you just joined us. We now are on Tampa time, which is Eastern Standard Time, 3 to 5 instead of 4 to 6. So that's a change also. 3 to 5, Tampa time, which is Eastern Standard Time. And Megan from Indiana on our radio team and Nan from Tampa right here are are the radio team members today on this show. And let's play a song, and then we're going to get back to this discussion. This song is by Hawk Nelson. It's called Words. Of course it is. That's what we're talking about today.
They've made me feel like a prisoner. They've made me feel set free. They've made me feel like a criminal. Made me feel like a king. They've lifted my heart to places I've never been. And they've dragged me down back to where. Start a fire in your heart or put it out. Let my words be life. Let my words be truth. I don't wanna say a word unless it points the world back to you. You can heal the heartache. Speak over the fear. God, your voice is the only thing
can break us down, start a fire in our hearts, or put it out.
Can build us up, words can bring us down. Boy, that was an appropriate song right there. Let my words be life, let my words be true. Our webmaster Maxine is on the phone. Talk to us.
Hi there.
I think you're calling in because you miss me, because I've been there all week with you, eating you out of house and home.
Well, that's it. I have no one sitting over my shoulder, looking over my shoulder, telling me what to do.
I know. How can you handle that? I don't know. You're just going to have to be creative on your own, right?
I guess I will.
That was a great week, wasn't it? We put a lot of time on this website. I am so excited about it, Maxine. Never have I been this excited.
The main reason I was calling in was I wanted to remind you that while we are going global with our email, with the BOHM Global,
right,
that the Beacon of Hope Ministries emails will all still be available. So if people have them stored in their email box, they can still use them. They are not going away.
Okay, so they're just all going to be deflected to the new site, right?
That is correct. So if someone's got their prayers at Beacon of Hope Ministries stored in their email and they can't remember the new email, they can still send prayers at Beacon of Hope Ministries, and it will always get to us.
That is a great point. And no, I never thought to say that. So thank you. And we're so excited that the church this morning, when I was announcing that we're going live next Sunday with this big new website, it's exciting, Maxine. And it's all because of all this hard work that you're putting into it. It's a lot of work, isn't it?
It takes everybody looking at the website and sending it to their friends and giving me the feedback so that we can give everyone what they want to some degree, but what works for our ministry mostly.
Sure. Absolutely. So thank you for that reminder. And yes, next Sunday is a big day, February 24th, launch day. So
okay, well, we're going to get back to listening to the radio while I sit here and work on the new website.
All right. Thank you, Maxine, for calling in. She's our webmaster and has been since 1900 there, Maxine. 2005, so or 4, I guess. It's been a long time anyway. Okay, Megan, we are talking about words here. And the point we were making a moment ago is from Acts 2, about verse 11. As they began to speak in new tongues, the people that they were speaking, let's say, in their language were understanding what they were saying, and they were describing God's mighty works. And when we praise God in our prayer language, we are singing praises, declaring praises to God. Then we just talked about Peter. If you didn't hear the first hour, you can go back and catch it later on the website, our website. It'll be up by tomorrow sometime. Peter stood up, and backed by the other 11, he spoke out with bold urgency. What does it say in your King James there, Nan? That is verse 14.
No, it's not as strong.
What's it say?
It just says he was standing with 11, lifted up his voice.
Okay, in the original Greek, it is. Are you still there, Megan?
I'm here, Pastor.
Okay, all right, good. It says that he stood up and spoke out with bold urgency. Now, that is, you know, we can speak and kind of casually. I mean, how effective is it if I say to you, yeah, I know, God loves me. I think he does. I think God loves me. Or when I emphatically say, Jesus loves me. You know, he cares about every detail of my life. And he's real to me. And I love him so much. Look at the difference between, yeah, I guess God loves me. Peter stood up with bold urgency, and he spoke and he declared. When we proclaim, the definition of proclamation means declaration, okay? And Betty and I, your mother, Megan, last Sunday, we were talking on the phone after we went off the air, and we were calling ourselves proclamators. I think that's a good word. Proclamators, okay? People that proclaim. You know, it's like Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Terminator. We decided we were proclamators, okay? We can also be people who are, I don't know, the opposite of a proclamator. Maybe somebody who sits around and stews in their soup and they're negative all the time. You know, we'd have to come up with a term for that. But let's be the positive side of that. Let's be a proclamator. Let's proclaim the goodness of the Lord. Let's proclaim what God has done in our lives. Let's proclaim his goodness. Let's proclaim all of that. Talk to me, Megan, and then Nan. Nan's just chomping at the bit to talk here now, Megan. She woke up. I don't know.
Well, I'm glad she's awake.
She had a little nap. Nappy poo.
Hey, now she's revived.
She's revived.
No. It's when you're talking about, Jesus loves me. And, you know, when you sound like that, it sounds like there's doubt in your voice.
Exactly.
And you wouldn't want to go and be around somebody that's full of doubt or you know, fear of God. You know, it's, he loves me, you know. But when you say, Jesus loves me, you're making a proclamation, as you said, a proclamator, that he does love you no matter what you've done, where you've been, or who you've been around. It doesn't matter. Jesus loves you no matter what. And that's why Peter stood up boldly, is because he believed exactly what was going on, and he wanted to say, hey, doubters over there in the corner, this is not a joke. They're
exactly.
Not drunk. This is the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And I think the world is full of people who maybe know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, but they don't have any oomph behind it. You know, that if they get in a discussion with somebody and someone says, well, you know, there's many, many ways to God. Pastor Jim pointed out this morning in Acts 4, I think it's about verse 12. Actually, I'm going to go there in the Message Bible. I think it's 4:12, where it says there's only one way to God, and that, yes, salvation. It's verse 12 of Acts 4. Salvation comes no other way. No other name has been or will be given to us by which we can be saved. Only this name, and that's Peter talking. The name is Jesus, and Peter was proclaiming that. There's no other way to get to Jesus. There's no other way to get to God. Salvation comes through the name of Jesus, which takes me to Acts 3. So let's go there. Nan, did you have a comment on that before we go to Acts 3?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, it's more believable when, you know, like when the example that you just portrayed here in the studio, you know, of the Jesus loving you. I wouldn't want what you have if you said it that weak way.
That wimpy way?
That wimpy way. If I was, you know, not serving God, didn't know Jesus as my Savior, and you're going to sit there and act like that and tell me he loves you, I'm going to say, I don't need that.
Well,
you
Nan,
know?
How do we do it when we go to the nursing home the first Sunday of every month when we sing,
yes,
Jesus love me, right?
Yes.
We have taught them for the last 2 years. We go there consistently the first Sunday of every month. And we always include in our repertoire of old songs that they all know, Jesus loves me. Mm-hmm. And we've taught them to take their hand, and the nurses do it too, and take their hand and throw it up in the air. Yes, Jesus loves me. And they do it emphatically, and we don't even allow them to just go, yes, Jesus. No, we and they proclaim it. Yes,
right.
Jesus loves me. And that's what it's all about. There is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. So let's go to Acts chapter 3. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, everybody's been filled with the Holy Spirit, that whole group of 120. Peter has preached the first sermon, and it's a mighty sermon. 3,000 people got saved, and Peter proclaimed it. He declared it. Peter, they didn't have any amp or mics. And I know y'all, at least a Beacon, they accuse me all the time, listening audience, of not needing a microphone because I do project, because I believe in what I'm talking about. And no, I really don't need a mic most of the time in our sanctuary.
That's right. I can affirm that.
Yes. In fact, I've hurt some people's ears in times past. Acts chapter 3, it's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That was the hour of prayer. Peter and John were on their way to the temple for prayer meeting at the same time. This is no coincidence, no coinky-dinky here. This is divinely orchestrated by God. Peter and John are going there at 3 o'clock for the time of prayer. At the same time, there was a man crippled from birth being carried up. I'm sure God's delayed whatever had to happen for that guy to get there right at that exact moment. God's divine timing is so amazing. Every day he was set down at the temple gate, the one named Beautiful. I love that. Because there were 12 gates, and he was at the gate named Beautiful, to beg from those going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for a handout. You know what? The world is wanting a handout. They're wanting us to reach out our hand of love and mercy and goodness and faith and all of that. And this guy wanted a handout. Peter, with John at his side, looked him straight in the eye. By the way, I think that's really cool when people can look you right in the eye. Mm-hmm. Always bothers me, Nan, when people can't look me in the eye.
Right.
You know, if they're looking clear up at the ceiling, they're looking all around, I wonder if they're telling me the truth. This guy looked them straight in the eye, and he said, look here. Actually, Peter is the one who said to the man, look here. Okay? He looked up expecting to get something from him. And Peter said, I don't have a nickel to my name. In King James, it says what? Silver and gold have I not?
Correct.
Have I none?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
But what I do have, I give you. Now, here we go. Here's what I have. I may not have money to give you, but here's what I do have. I've got something more powerful than money. Mm-hmm. I got something that all I have to do is speak the word, and you'll be healed. Here's what I have. I may not have silver and gold to give you, but here's what I do have. I have this word of healing, and it's called Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. That is a proclamation, Megan. Peter is boldly going, I may not have any money to give you today, son, but here's what I have, something much better. This way, if you're healed, you can go out and get a job or whatever you want to do, right? And he says to him, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. He grabbed him by the right hand and pulled him up. Right hand, and the word of God is always talking about God's authority. Okay, he pulls him up by the right hand in an instant. Not 3 weeks of therapy, but in an instant, his feet and ankles became firm, and he jumped to his feet and walked. Of course, nobody noticed this at all, right?
No.
Wait a minute. This happened? This miracle happened by what? What?
The words he used.
What words did he use, Nan, that were so powerful?
In the name of Jesus, get up and walk.
In the name of Jesus, walk. A proclamation, a declaration. Talk to me, Megan. Woo! I don't know, but I'm fired up, Megan.
Oh, I am too. I could just tear through this phone line.
All right, you go. You go, girl. Your turn.
And, you know, the thing about the gentleman sitting out there that's crippled is, that's true today. How many times do you walk past somebody that you know that you should probably say something to him, but you choose to ignore it?
Exactly.
And that's what people had been doing to this poor man, you know, for however long that he sat there.
Right.
And he just was begging for someone to carry him in so that he could join in the standing prayer, because that was the standing prayer in the temple time. And
right.
It's just amazing how so many times that we choose to ignore situations because we're fearful of them.
Oh, so true. So true. And when all we need to do is just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit that's within us. When we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, God will show you what to do. Megan, it reminds me of the day you guys were here, you and your mom, in October, and we were at the vet with my little Bailey dog who was sick. And remember what happened? You want to share that? I know you've shared it before on the air, but it applies right here. It's words.
It still gives me goosebumps.
Me too.
We were sitting in the vet there in a room of people, and there was several other dogs. It was very loud. And I have never had this happen. It's almost like I was honed in on this couple with their dog. I could hear everything that they were talking about, and we were sitting across the room.
Yeah.
You can vouch for that.
I can.
And I get this urgency of something's lifting me out of my seat. Come on, Megan, get up and go over there. Come on, go, go. And, you know, it's like little me, oh, well, I don't know if I want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Well, I couldn't ignore this. I got pulled over there. Holy Spirit. And those people just needed someone, in my mind, they needed someone to acknowledge that they were hurting and that they needed compassion in that moment because they were getting ready to lose their family member. That was their precious little dog. And I can vouch, I have never done that before. And that's just like Peter, you know, calling out to that cripple. You know, if you were given a task and you were too scared to do it, would you regret it if you didn't do it? Yeah, you would, because it was the work of the Holy Spirit. And when you're told to do something, move.
Amen. Woo! Yes. So Peter did it. Let's listen to this song, and we're going to talk more about this on the other side. Sidewalk Prophets is the name of this group. The Words I Would Say.
Three in the morning, and I'm still awake. So I picked up a pen and a page, and I started writing just what I'd say if we were face to face. I tell you just what you mean to me. Tell you these simple truths. Be strong in the Lord and never give up hope. You're gonna do great things. I already know. God's got his hand on you, so don't live life in fear. Forget, but don't forget why you're here. Take your time and pray. These are the words I would say. Last time we spoke, you said you were hurting, and I felt your pain. To tell you that I keep on praying, love will find you where you are. I know, 'cause I've already been there, so please hear these simple truths. Be strong in the Lord and never give up hope. You're gonna do great things. I already know. God's got his hand on you, so come find peace in the Father.
love that song. I've never heard it before. Those are great, strong, the great words. Be strong in the Lord. All of those words. Wow. Good song. Good song. Nan, comment about this. The words I would say and the words we should be saying to people, right?
I mean, we should be bringing the message of
yes.
Christ to them, but we should be kind to them.
Yes, should be kind. Absolutely. Graham Cook makes a big deal about kindness.
Kind words.
The kindness of the Lord.
And even if you have a problem, what came to mind, if I could share what came to mind, is actually that I'm hungry.
You are right now.
And
yeah,
then I thought I'm hungry because I didn't eat lunch.
And why didn't you eat lunch,
Nan?
Because you were sitting right beside me. Why didn't you eat? Megan, this will be good. You'll like this.
They didn't prepare the food properly.
They didn't prepare the food to her liking, which I can't blame her, really.
Well, I don't blame her. It was steak. It was still red in the middle. It was black on the outside.
It was pretty bad.
And the way I handled it, the way I handled it, I took it and actually left the table because I didn't want to make a big deal in front of everybody there. I went up and I said, may I please see a manager?
Yes.
And this manager came out and I said, it was God with me because normally I'd just, because I didn't get to eat, you know? And I said, I'm really not pleased with this food.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I would like to resolve this is that you just take it off my ticket, please.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, certainly. And she said, is there something else we may get for you? And I said, well, I'm on tight frame. You know, we need to come here. So I didn't have time to wait for more food and gobble it down. And so, you know, so they took that off the ticket. Of course, I was drinking water, so I didn't.
Her ticket was zero,
you know. But I could have been mean about it, you know.
Right.
And fussed and fumed about how they didn't get the food right. But I've been calm before, but I've never taken the approach of, I'm not pleased with this, and here's how I like to resolve it. And,
right.
you know, I went ahead and just led right into what I want to do. But we go to this restaurant.
Right.
We're known as a church going into that restaurant.
Right.
So what kind of witness would have given if I'd have made fussing and fuming and making a big deal in a negative way?
Thank you very much for not doing that.
No problem. And we had a couple guests who were with us who don't normally attend church. So, I mean, what kind of witness would have given for the church? And I think that's how we need to be careful. You know, especially, people know I go to church.
Right.
I even have to be that much more careful to make sure how I speak to them, make sure I speak kindly because they know I go to church and they don't. And if I come on being mean and nasty all the time, they're certainly never going to want to go to church.
Who does
You've
it reflect?
Given a witness.
Exactly.
You've
That's
given
the witness
a bad
thing.
Witness. A bad witness.
It goes back to how do we portray Jesus in our lives? How do we? Do we portray him as being angry and mean and judgmental and rah, 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 or do we portray him as being sweet and gentle and kind, which he is? In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, you know, I'm gentle.
Right.
I'm calm, you know, and he's Prince of Peace, not Prince of Antagonism,
mm-hmm.
Prince of Peace. Megan, talk to us, will you?
Oh, amen. And, you know, when we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we speak eloquently.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't speak, you know, when people use cuss words. I mean, they sound uneducated. That's how I think that they sound. And when you speak of the Lord and you portray your Christianity outwardly to people, they're going to notice because you're of a peaceful mind and the words that come out of your mouth are peaceful and they're compassionate. So just like the way Nan handled her dinner, she could have, you know, poured that waitress up one down inside the other and it wasn't her fault. It was, you know, it just happened to be a bad point in time, but she chose her words and she was not, you know, mean and nasty and angry because that's not the way that Jesus, it's not the way that he is. He doesn't correct us in anger at
exactly.
all. Never.
He's compassionate. His nature is compassionate and kindness, you know. Go ahead.
Amen.
Well, that song we just played that I'd never heard, Sidewalk Prophets, the words I would say, that all through those that chorus of that verse, I would say this, be strong in the Lord, don't live in fear. Everything that song said is so right on, and we need to be very careful with our words because Proverbs 18:21 says death and life are in the power of the tongue, And back to the Message Bible, it says for that verse, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. I think one of the biggest problems that even Christians have is carrying out that in our homes, in our families, in our workplace, where we are on a daily basis. If we are bitter, if we're resentful, it's going to come out in our words. It's going to carry out in the tone of voice or something. Comment on that, Nan, then we'll get to Megan on that.
Well, I'm thinking of a real life example in my life.
I'm sure you are. Okay.
And that would be my mother.
Okay.
And who's a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But who...
Who is not listening to the show.
Okay.
Well,
that's one way of talking to her, is passive aggressive here with her, you know.
No.
Calling out my mama.
Your mama is listening, probably.
Yes, I'm calling out my mama.
But I mean, it's sad, you know, the negative words that come out.
Yes.
The almost hateful words. And obviously not going to go into the family structure, why, but, just not using words wisely, you know, and then you're being negative, you know, and when we're like that, it makes people not want to be around us.
Absolutely,
and
that's what it does.
I mean, I love my family, but it makes me sometimes want to, like, I almost bailed out there yesterday because I didn't want to hear it, you know,
right.
and I don't like to, I surround myself with people who speak kind words, people who speak positive words. I don't surround myself with people who, you know, you have to put up with enough of that stuff at work. You know, if people around, you can't control that, but you can control your personal life.
Well, in our homes, especially, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. I like the way the Message mm-hmm. Bible translates Proverbs 18:21. You choose. You choose whether you're going to give out poison or give out fruit. I just had fruit for lunch, and I'm telling you, it was a lot better than a bowl of poison would have been. What you ate probably was, no.
I would say yours looked better than mine was. I wasn't able to eat it.
Mine was great. Okay, Megan, talk to us about this, because they are either poison or fruit, don't you think?
I totally agree, and you know, sometimes if you're in a situation, you may not be able to get away from the mm-hmm. poison.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, in your family life, but you can turn the situation around as you can deflect those words by the Holy Spirit. You know, you put on the full armor of God, and nothing can come through your armor. And that's the coolest thing, because, you know, I can get up every day and prepare myself spiritually, and no matter what is thrown at me, you know, mm-hmm. distractions or hurtful
right.
words, it deflects off of me because I've got my armor on.
That, I agree with that. And the other thing is being proclamators, which we all declare that we're proclamators, right? When we're not around when we're alone, let's put it this way, when we are in a place where we can proclaim, whether that is with your spouse, your partner, or your husband, your wife, maybe they can handle it if you proclaim. But I think a lot of people can't handle it when we're proclamators. They're like, oh, what is that about? But basically, you take time during the day to proclaim the goodness of the Lord. I have my Bible. I just open it up to the Psalms. I'm telling you what I do, and I would encourage each of you. I just turned to this right now. Look what I just turned to. Psalm 23. And so here's what I would do as a proclamator. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Just like David, I'm proclaiming. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. This is written in proclamator style right here already with the eyes, the personal, first person, you know. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love, or proclaiming it, Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm proclaiming there's coming a day I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm a proclamator. I am declaring this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord does make me lie down in green pastures. He does lead me beside still waters. I am proclaiming that because I'm a proclamator. All righty then. Now it's your turn.
Love it.
but I do this, Megan. I seriously do what I just said. And usually,
Amen. I know you do.
I go through psalm after psalm, and not every day, but most days. And I'll just grab my Bible wherever it opens in the Psalms, and I'll start being a proclamator about myself and my life, my children, my grandchildren, my great grandchildren. And all of those, yeah. Anyway.
You've got great-grandchildren?
I don't yet, but it looks like I will.
Okay.
Okay. That's a day. That's a story for another day.
Okay, that's fine.
So, anyway. I know I'm way too young for that. Yes.
Way too young.
But anyway, it comes out of our mouth, Megan. What comes out of our mouth is what changes our lives.
Amen. Hey, I have a proclamator moment for you.
Go for it.
I went to breakfast this morning with some family members, and my sister-in-law had an aneurysm last year in January.
Yes.
Hospital. Just last week had her MRI and was waiting to go up to talk to the doctor about the results. She approached me this morning and handed me this card, and she told me that before I went up to meet with the doctor, this gentleman came up to me. She had no idea who he was, and he said, "Hey, young lady, I just feel that I need to give you this card because, you know, we're all so busy in our lives that we know that there are people that are hurting, and I just want to share this with you." This is from Psalm 27, and I'll read it very quickly. The
Go
Lord
ahead.
Keeps you safe. "You, Lord, are the light that makes me safe. I am not afraid of anyone. You protect me, and I have no fears. I ask only one thing. Lord, let me live in your house every day of my life to see how wonderful you are and to pray in your temple. In times of trouble, you will protect me. You will hide me in your tent and keep me safe on top of a mighty rock. Trust the Lord. Be brave and strong. Trust the Lord."
Woo!
And I'm
yes.
up to the doctor's office and got a clean bill of health.
Praise God. Praise God. And isn't that interesting? Now, that is a very effective thing to do. Look at that. In a hospital waiting room. Oh, my. Proclaiming over somebody.
It's a proclamation, yes.
It's a proclamation. You know, at the end of our services, Megan, we're always praying over people. And today we were doing a lot of that and proclaiming. One of our people has broken her foot a few weeks back. It's now been 8 weeks already. And there's been absolutely no healing of that fracture. She was at the doctor again on Friday. There is nothing. There's been no knitting together. And I'll tell you, it just made me mad when I heard that report today. I mean, it made me mad. And I mean, not at her or anything like that, but mad at just the things that happen in our lives. And at the end of the service, we began to gather around her. We anointed her foot with oil. We began to pray over and proclaim. And we are believing God that foot starts coming back together correctly. And because it's really a hindrance in her job that she has. It's a very big hindrance. Talk to me, Nan, about this. Proclaiming is an act of our will. We choose whether we're going to be proclamators or not. I said, "Talk to me, Nan," and I went right on talking, right? Yep, we choose whether or not we're going to be proclamators. Talk to me. Your turn.
Well, you know, in that service this morning and praying for her, you know, we all weren't necessarily verbally being proclamators.
Yes.
But we were proclaiming.
Yes.
As we were praying over her, that her foot's going to begin to knit back together. I mean,
yes.
God made this body.
Right.
You know, he knits it back together, and the hinders, whatever's happening, you know, that's what you got angry about. Not angry, but
that is what it was, because, you know, the devil was doing this to her and hurting her job, and she has three kids to take care of, and it just really upset me. Yeah.
You know, and so we were all proclamators.
We were.
This morning, and there were several gathered around her, you know, as prayer was going forth from you for
her. Exactly. Absolutely. absolutely, the anointing of God was so strong up there for all of that.
It sure was.
Connie couldn't stand up and fell to the floor on that deeply cushioned carpet because the power of God was so strong when we grabbed her hand. Megan, talk to me about this before we get to the last song, but go ahead.
Oh, amen. You know, and talking about the lady with her foot is, you know, Pastor, you were making the proclamation of healing over her.
Amen.
And the people surrounding her were backing your proclamation in the heavenlies.
Yes.
And telling Satan, look, back off. You're not going to win this. She's a child of God, and she's going to be healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And that's backing up the warriors, backing up the pastor. And that's some powerful stuff. That's just like what went on up in the temple with all the disciples, you know, the 10 that turned to 120 and then to 3,000.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing what can happen when we make a proclamation.
Amen. And that's what we've got to do because, you know, Jesus is coming back soon and we have so many more people to reach. I was writing a blurb for the new website about Harvest Hands, and Jesus himself said in Matthew 9, that we should beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. And in the Message Bible, they're called harvest hands. Jesus calls them harvest hands. And we proclaim right now that there are going to be so many that will join us in the weeks and months ahead to get kingdom business done, to reach out to those that are hurting, those that are dying, those that are just dying emotionally, maybe not physically. But, you know, God brings people into our lives for a reason. And we are to proclaim what God has done. And Nan, talk to me about that.
Well, I mean, sometimes we don't necessarily know what to say, but the Holy Spirit within us will give us the words, which we've already said earlier in this program, and we need to proclaim over people.
Yes.
I know I went up for prayer, well, this morning, but I think last Sunday morning, and well, it was about the same issue, about the stress issue that I'm dealing with at work, and mm-hmm. it's causing me to be physically ill. And I said, I just can't have this. And you said to me, proclaim it. You were praying for me, yes, but as normally go up and grab your hand or whatever and you pray, that you didn't do that. You said, okay, Nan, proclaim it over yourself.
Why did I say that, Nan?
So that I could proclaim it over myself, so that I would, I don't want to say buy into, but have greater faith in believing.
Right. It needs to come out of our own mouths. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, I have given you power and authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any way harm you. That's a promise that Jesus gave mm-hmm. us in Luke 10:19. So he's given us that authority. You proclaim it out mm-hmm. of your mouth. You have been given the authority, Nan. Tomorrow morning when you wake up and that stress thing hits you because of everything that's going to happen at work tomorrow. Tomorrow's President's Day. So if it's not tomorrow, then the next day. I don't know if you're in school or not.
We work tomorrow.
You do work
tomorrow? Students
okay.
are in. Yeah.
All right. But you wake up and you proclaim, you hit the road running. You get out of your bed with your feet, when your feet touch the, and you're proclaiming. Megan, talk to me about this. This just fires me up.
Yeah, I'm about right. Here I come again.
Okay, here we go.
Know, and we have the right to say, be it on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
That's our given right as the child of God.
Yes.
And Nan, this most likely must be for you, because as we've been talking here, I have been given this comment of a proclamator. This is for you, and this is for other people too. You have to go out, and like Pastor said, you have to go out boldly. And when you put on the armor of God, that allows you to have an
yes.
invincible spirit.
Amen.
Because you're an invincible warrior for God. And there is nothing that the devil can throw at you that's going to take you down. So every word that comes out of your mouth needs to be of a positive reinforcement to yourself.
Right.
Amen.
I received that, Megan. Thank you.
And you need to be, you need to take this seriously. Even listening audience, you need to take this seriously. If you're speaking negativity about yourself or about the person you live with or whatever the case may be, and you are not doing any, I mean, it's one thing to state facts so-and-so is sick or they're depressed or whatever. That's one thing. But you can state a fact and then say, and here's what I'm going to do about it. I proclaim in the name of Jesus that so-and-so rises up out of that depression, let's say, mm-hmm. and walks in newness of life. And it says here, remember if we talked about it in Acts 2, that when Peter stood up and he spoke out with bold urgency, okay? And it's time that we are boldly proclaiming, and we're doing it urgently, that we don't just let people wallow in their junk, mm-hmm. that we allow that truth to come out of our mouths. Megan, comment about that before we do this song, Casting Crowns. Go ahead.
Amen. And, you know, sometimes when we speak boldly, you know, at some point maybe someone, if it is the truth, that truth sometimes can hurt.
Right.
But you need to hear it. And, you know, it's from the Holy Spirit, so it's not going to, you know, knock your socks off or break you down and make you feel horrible. But, you know, hey, if you're talking negatively about someone or if you're causing someone strife at their job, you know, hey, walk up to that person and say, you know, this is really an uncomfortable situation, and I think we need to change the path that we're going down here.
Right.
We need to change the words that are coming out of our mouth.
Amen. Change the atmosphere. Amen.
Amen.
With the voice of truth by Casting Crowns.
Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat and then under the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win. You never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice
I love this song. The voice of truth says, don't be afraid. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I need to listen to the voice of truth. Oh, Megan, talk to us. Praise God. That song is great. She there? Megan.
Pastor, are you there?
There. Now we get you back. Go ahead.
Sorry. I have my phone on mute. No, that song is amazing because it when it talks about being surrounded by a thousand warriors shaking
right.
in their armor,
right.
it really just makes you think, what would you do if you were told to face a giant and
right.
that you were going to take him down? I mean, that takes a lot of courage and a lot of boldness. A lot of boldness to move forward in your faith for the Lord.
But we do face giants on a daily basis, you know? I mean, in our personal lives, in our work situations, in our finances, in relationships, in churches, we face giants. And we have got to become the prayer warriors that are proclamators, not just people that are full of petition. You know, petition is, oh, God, please, please, God, oh, God, where are you? Ah! You know, we tend to be that way, and God is calling the church into this hour to become proclamators instead of just petitioners. You can write that down and take it to the bank, because that is what God is saying. He's calling his people to not just be petitioners like we have been used to being, oh, God, please, but to be proclamators. This is what God's word says about me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We have got to become that strong with our mouths. That's how we proclaim. We're proclamators by our words, the words of our mouth. Talk to me.
Well, proclamators is a higher level than just kind of whining around going,
yeah,
you know, woe is
well,
me.
You think?
Or, you know, you need to step up to the plate. In our lives, whether you're proclaiming something for someone else
right.
or within our own lives, we need to step up to the plate and move forward with the proclamation.
Yes.
Using our words, you know, using our words. And if we're proclaiming, we're using them wisely. But we need to be sure and move forward using them wisely.
When you said that, it reminded me of Babe Ruth. Many years ago, there's a picture of him. I've got a picture of Babe Ruth. I don't have the picture of this event. But he went to the plate, and he was so sure he was going to hit it out. Because I love baseball. He was so sure that he took his hand and he motioned over there and goes, it's going right over there. In other words, over the fence. Sure enough, next ball comes, bam, over the fence. He proclaimed it and he just, bam, that picture. I love it. I love to have that picture. Talk to me, Megan.
Oh, you know, it's just that simple. Little steps, little proclamations lead to greater proclamations.
Amen.
And lead to miracles happening.
Yes. Yes. No, when Peter and John saw that man there at the temple and they proclaimed, Peter said, you know, silver and gold, I don't have any. I don't have any money. Here's what I do have. And what did he have? He had a name. He had a word. And people, if you can't think of what to proclaim, and I'm telling you right now, open your Bible and proclaim the Psalms and make it personal. Do it in eyes, like the Lord is my light and my salvation. But let's say you're not in a situation, you even have your Bible with you. You can simply declare the name of Jesus over your situation. That word, that name is more powerful than any other name on heaven or earth.
There's been many times when I, you know, there's times that you can't necessarily know what you want to proclaim, if you will. But I've used the name of Jesus. And
right.
That is so powerful.
And the blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus. Just,
name and
just
the blood.
The name of the blood of Jesus. Just proclaiming those things over the situation. Just
yes.
saying those things.
Yes.
That's powerful.
It's
that
powerful.
Brings down, I mean, God hears that.
We've got to determine that if we're going to change our circumstances and if we are going to affect the lives of family, friends, people we know, missionaries, whatever, that we become proclamators. Talk to me about this, Megan. Why is this so important? Got just some final comments from both of you here. Time no. is coming up on the hour. Go ahead.
I know it came up fast. You know, by being a child of God, you are a proclamator,
right?
Because you can claim any negative circumstance into a positive,
right?
And you know, just something so simple as if someone's fighting depression is, I proclaim in the name of Jesus that I'm not going to lay in this bed today.
Right. Good point.
Steps.
Yes.
And then the steps turn into giant steps. And then you start climbing hills, and then you start climbing mountains.
Amen.
And then before you know it, you're on top of the mountain, and you're hollering down, hey, I proclaim my healing in the name of Jesus, and I have been healed, and I'm going to shout it to the world.
Amen. That's exactly what you do. Amen. We'll come right back to you, Megan. Go ahead, Nan.
Well, you know, some people hearing this today may be very timid at doing this or not sure about. You're talking about proclaiming. I don't know about all that. Just start. Just right. Just do it. Right. You know, I mean, what was it, Nike used to say? Just do
just
it.
Just do it.
Do it. Just speak it out. Like you said, right. if you can't say, just say the name of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb. The blood,
well,
you know.
The prayer book we use a lot on Wednesday nights, Prayers That Avail Much by Jermaine Copeland. The first two or three pages are personal confessions, mm-hmm. and it starts out saying, you know, just proclamation after, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the more you read those out mm-hmm. loud, the stronger you get. Mm-hmm. You're being a proclamator when you do that. Final word, Megan.
Well, Pastor, I'm going to throw out the proclamation that my mom was given about finding the 10,000 warriors.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is we need more proclamators.
We do.
And we need them for the date 313 of 13. And
right.
we have a website page. It's 10,000 strong. Search it, like it, send us a message.
Facebook.
Email Pastor. Get on Beacon of Hope's website. Email them.
Right.
Let us know you want to be a part of this because this has the mighty, it's going to be a mighty thing because we learn, you know, through the apostles or through the prophets that when they unite, how they grew by 10, 120, 3,000.
Exactly.
Look how much changed in that short period of time. And this land is needing a revival. And I'm going to tell you what, it's coming. And I want to be a part of it. And I want everybody to be a part of it because we need a change. We all need a change. We need a refreshing spirit.
Amen.
Over this land. There's healing that needs to take place here, and we just want to open our arms up to Jesus and say, hey, we're willing to take this on. Work through us, Holy Spirit, and make it happen in the name of Jesus.
Amen. March 13th at 6 p.m. for an hour, we're calling our nation to prayer. It's going to be on the front page of our new website next Sunday, and you can click it and say, yes, I'll be one of those that'll pray for a little while for our nation, for redemption, renewal, and revival. And that is our prayer. Facebook.com/10,000 strong. Not 1,000, 10,000 strong. And that's what we'll be talking more about that every week on the radio show, too. Nan, Megan, it's been great. Did you have a final comment?
Just use kind words.
Use kind words. So we welcome you if you're in the Tampa Bay area to join us for service Sunday mornings at 10:30 and Wednesday night at 7 for Bible study. We're in a temporary location right now in the Executive Inn, 3580 Almerton Road, just down from where we were, same side of the street. We welcome you to our services. God bless you. Go to our website and catch up on some of these shows you have missed. And that's beaconofhopeministries.com. Until next week, it's been Nan, it's been Megan, it's been me, Pastor Marcia, joining together to talk to you about the truth of God's Word and proclaiming His Word over your life. Have a great week, and we will see you here again live next Sunday at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. God bless you. See ya.
There's no need for you. It's not far.
Tampa Bay, WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay, KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, and FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.